That's an imposter, Mark Snyder.
So there you go.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing good.
How are you?
Good. Let's talk a little bit about this. I think it's a great idea. I love a parking lot. It's a wonderful idea.
Thank you.
You know, there's so many things going on in parking lots. In fact, I'm a New England Patriots fan, and I go to some of the games, and the tailgating before the game can be as entertaining as the games are. Also, at Fenway Park, when I go there for the Red Sox games outside, it's a whole different world.
Oh, it's true. It's really it's something that it's amazing nobody thought of it sooner.
But yeah. What gave you guys the idea for this whole thing?
Well, we started way back in 1986 when John and I were just kind of fledgling documentary filmmakers looking for really kind of unusual subject matter, and it was a kind of a time when heavy metal was selling out arenas, but it was a you got a sense of it, even if you didn't follow heavy metal, you got a sense of how, you know, profound it was on the cultural landscape through, like, MTV and whatnot. But it was it just seemed like an offbeat thing to do. And John had the idea, and I'm like, excellent, I'll get the cameras from my studio I was working at. And we just paid, like, $5 to go in and park. And then
turned our cameras on and wandered around the parking lot.
The rest is history, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think that if you turn on a camera in those situations, the drama unfolds all by itself.
You're so right.
It sure does. And, you know, we found out, you know, these are obsessed fans, really, and they all have a story to tell, and they didn't mind coming up to our cameras and telling us all about, why they were crazy about Judas Priest.
Yeah, I like the guy that was at the Cher concert who said he was a Sonny fan.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff is, you can't write this stuff, you know? I mean, truth is stranger than fiction. And in this case, it just, these people, with video, you're shooting a lot. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't make the cut, but you find things in the editing that kind of help with the narrative thread and are entertaining or funny or...
Well, I can see you guys making some money here. I'll tell you how. I think that if this thing catches on a little bit, that the uncensored DVD of the show first season should do pretty well.
Okay, I want to suggest that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, because they bleep stuff out. I'm sure there's things that you can't put on. I'm sure that people flash you or whatever, and you can't put it on the screen. So there's things that you could definitely do that will increase DVD sales. And I bet you that'll be a big money maker for you.
Well,
possibly. Yeah.
Possibly.
It isn't quite fans gone wild like you might think.
No.
It depends on the different particular concert, but mostly everybody behaved themselves for the most part.
Pretty restrained.
That's too bad. You had to carry around beads then. Got to give them Jerry Springer beads.
You got to go to Spring Break parking lot.
There you go. Or New Orleans, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
But tell me a little bit about you guys. Let's talk to Jeff first in terms of how'd you end up doing this kind of stuff, and where'd you learn it?
Both John and I, you know, we met and we just, realized we share similar sensibilities. And, we've been in TV and film. We both studied film and, you know, we're somebody, you know, we just wanted to do this. And when we started out, you know, video was in its infancy as far as, the mass medium of, consumer video and, or even, getting video into the hands of civilians. It was still a select few. So we made something that is like an independent, that would be considered an independent film now. But back when we started, there were no film outlets. I mean, there was no place to really show the video. So it just kind of got out there by tape trading because it was on video, a grassroots phenomenon. And now, certainly we're trying to figure out ways to exploit it. And that's why we have the TV series.
Mm. Now, Jeff, you also have a website that I thought was really interesting. It's called Planet, KRULIK.com. And on there are a number of small short films that you did. Tell me a little bit about that and about the website.
Well, thanks for mentioning that. It definitely is something that I've been prolific at. The video allows you to be prolific, all it takes is time and energy and, unfortunately, for the more ambitious projects, a lot of money. But it's still something that you can do. It's affordable, and it's always been a hobby for me. So that's why I managed to, get a lot of material and a body of work that I've, much of which I've collaborated on with John. And that with the technology and allowing you to put it on the web, that's been just a great kind of tool to promote myself and promote the work. And I have a very generous provider who gives me a lot of space.
Yeah, I think there's some great stuff on there, man. Mr. Blassie goes to Washington.
Well, thanks. I mean, it all does kind of share, you know, that's kind of the offbeat sensibility right there. I mean, that's kind of my portfolio, my demo reel, if you will. I mean, Ernest Borgnine, we followed him across, you know, the Midwest while he drives a bus. I mean, it wasn't a conventional portrait of Ernest Borgnine. It was him behind the wheel of a 40-foot bus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy who stole Hitler's top hat, we're putting that up on the web shortly. He actually was a Jewish GI who found Hitler's top hat and stole it and brought it back as a souvenir of war and became a magician.
Hmm. And he used it in his act?
Actually, the hat wasn't used. He crushed the hat. That's the thing I let. He actually found it in Hitler's apartment, and he stomped on the hat in a fit of rage. And then he brought the hat back, but he kept the hat, ironically, in his magic trick closet, crushed in a brown paper bag. He kept it there for 50 years. And that was the story.
Wow.
But it was this kind of these fringe subculture offbeat stories that John and I love. And that's what really drew us to make Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
Mm. Now John,
gave us the impetus to try to bring the TV series to air, which Trio has gratefully obliged with.
Now, John, tell me a little bit about your experience. You're fresh out of film school, and you got a job working as a PA for John Waters. Tell me about that.
Exactly. Well, hey, yeah, that was his scratch and sniff feature called Polyester, where you had companion smells to go along with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
In different scenes.
Well, didn't you just write John Waters a letter saying you were a fan and then you wanted to work on a film and he called you?
Yeah, that's basically, John Waters was definitely a big influence on me as I was in film school, and I wrote him and said, can I work on one of your films? Actually, can I do it as an internship in college? I think that'd be a pretty crazy internship. But I had graduated by the time he made Polyester, so it was my first job out of college. It was actually a very professional production. I learned a lot about the mechanics of filmmaking and comedy filmmaking in particular, how that works. He's a really hilarious director and writes funny scripts, and I've always been impressed with everything he's done. And likewise, I think he's also seen Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
He has. He was one of the earliest supporters of it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, John, you have a real job. You work for the Department of Veteran Affairs?
Exactly. I produce training films for them.
Wow.
So this is kind of a moonlighting thing for me. It's my alter ego as a guerrilla filmmaker, but it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Actually, I believe that I own one of the videos you did called Girls on Film.
You own that?
I do, yeah.
Okay, that's great, because that's a really obscure one that's never been distributed.
Yeah, I got it somehow. I don't know. I have it somewhere, and I was like, wow. That's the same guy that did that film.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
True. So you, the thing is, there's so many people. You know, the one thing we've got, you know, been out on the this kind of alternative circuit, which has sprung up with the last several years. You know, there's like been a Boston Underground Film Festival. There's been Chicago, New York. There's a lot of venues now that screen video. The Coolidge Corner Cinema in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, they are very accommodating to people like ourselves. And what's happened now is as people who like this stuff then get into positions where they're programming TV networks or, you know, working with advertising agencies, creative directors. I mean, they're bringing people like us along, and that's really gratifying.
I can see this becoming a real cult classic, the Parking Lot series. As long as they get all the publicity out there and get people to try it out and check it out, I think that people will get addicted to it.
I hope so. I mean, it is a small network, so that is one that you just have to work harder at getting people to pay attention to it.
Well, they have about 20 million households right now, and they're in digital cable and satellite.
Good. Yeah, my parents get it. I don't get it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't get it either. But but the interesting thing is that if it does well, it could end up somewhere else as well.
Sure.
Because that's what happens, you know, Queer Eye and some of these other shows that have done well on cable have gone over to your mainstream TV.
Amen.
Exactly. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah. Now, what are you guys working on besides this? Are you still working on new episodes for this? Or?
Well, we have stuff in the can that will hopefully make it into a second season. And then if that, you know, and then there's certainly, we're ready to go out every weekend, so, you know, if they order more episodes.
Are you going to get out of the Super Bowl this year?
Well, the Super Bowl is a bit of a, you know, tough nut to crack because that's, you know, the security's tight. And I just think, I mean, I think you could definitely, in some ways that's like too obvious.
Yeah.
Because it's such a big hyped event. And I think if you try to find more subtle grassroots, more accessible events, you might find people who are would make greater, better material. But if anybody wants to send us to the Super Bowl, we're ready to go.
Well, the thing is that, as I mentioned before, just being at the games myself, at the Patriots games and the Red Sox games, I go to a lot of games, what happens outside is amazing. You know, it's especially the tailgating parties.
Oh,
and
sure.
It's just a wild time. And especially when it's sub-zero weather out there, it's even more interesting.
That brings out even more crazy.
Yeah, it is
sure.
Really crazy. We went to the Fish concert that's in our series. I was in Philadelphia on a bitterly cold, freezing day last February. So, well, I mean, I imagine, you know.
But fans were walking around with their shirts off.
Right.
Drinking cold beer.
Of course. It's part of the required uniform. You know, the show starts, for all you folks out there listening, on Sunday night, and on Sunday's episode at 9 o'clock on Trio. You can see some sheer lookalikes down there, and some sci-fi fanatics in their weird outfits, and Motorhead concert. And then on Monday's episode, 50 Cent fans, Yanni's followers, and a WWE match outside, what's happening out there. This is every single night at the same time, 9 o'clock, on Trio Network on your cable. If you don't have it, you can call 1-877-GET-TRIO, and you need to get it because you need to get Parking Lot, or else you have to wait for the DVD to come out.
That's right. Let us mention that Trio is running a episode of marathons, or a marathon of episodes, on Sunday, February 1st, Super Bowl Sunday.
Wow.
Runs all day long, 19 hours. So you can catch the Super Bowl, and you can also catch all our episodes running back-to-back, along with the original broadcast premiere of Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
Wow, that sounds pretty good. Of course, I'll be watching the Super Bowl, and,
yes, right.
And then I'll be checking out...
All you Patriot fans, you know, who needs to watch, you guys...
Yeah, I'll be checking out the Patriots winning, beating the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
And then and during halftime, I'll be actually watching the Lingerie Bowl. Because, you know...
Up to 9 o'clock, we're on... I think that you can watch during the day or in the morning before a lot of the coverage starts. Are you going to the Super Bowl?
I am not. No, it's in Houston, and I don't go to Houston.
Oh.
I was in Houston one time, and I almost died. I have asthma, and the air was so bad there, it killed me.
Wow.
So I decided not to go to Houston. But
how much are tickets?
About I could get a package right now for about $4,000.
Yikes.
With the tickets, and a ticket, hotel, and airfare. That's about $2,000 for the cheapest tickets in there.
Man.
Yeah. You know, it's only for the rich. If you're a poor filmmaker, you can't go.
That's it. I can just see us asking Trio to send us to the Super Bowl.
And Trio will say, hey, that's our whole budget for the year.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, good luck with this, and we'll all be watching on Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Again, get in the habit of watching Parking Lot every night at 9 on Trio. It's a great show. I think you'll all enjoy it.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for talking.
Go Patriots.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.